That's Kenny Loggins on the mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Hey, it was spring break.
Yeah. Judging from what's going on over there, we're going to have to retrain you, but...
No, it was the computer monitor hit the button.
Oh, sure, that's what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, the computer monitor hit
I blame
the
computer monitor hitting a button all the time, don't you, Tori?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I can shut you both off.
Okay.
Did you all have a good break?
Did, yeah. Very good.
Both of you look like you have a nice tan.
Yeah.
Both Scott and Tom.
I spent some time on the deck of a boat, so...
Very good.
I spent time in my backyard growing vegetables.
In your backyard.
Growing vegetables, you bet.
And producer Brandon's a little sunburnt, or he's embarrassed.
I don't know. Sometimes you can just mention something strange and Brandon turns that color. So
Well, this weekend, a lot of folks spent time in the garden or in the backyard.
Yes.
It was unavoidable. And the home improvement stores were packed.
Yeah, they were.
The garden section, if you tried to go in, you couldn't get into Lowe's.
No.
I mean,
I went to Lowe's and that was unreal. I looked at it and I said,
Am I at Club La Vila or am I at Lowe's?
Yeah. What's the difference? Exactly.
Club La Vila with a lumber cart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could get a little difficult. Yeah. It's good to be back. Everybody looks a little ready to stay home, though. My household was not pleased to get up early this morning.
Bet not.
No, not at all.
No.
We have one on, with a bum leg. He was not pleased to go back for the first time with crutches
to school.
Yeah.
He'll get a lot of... lot of flack from that when he shows up.
Well, he now has a cast, and so we told him, people are going to want to write on your cast. Make sure, one, that they spell things correctly, otherwise you're just going to walk around with really dumb things on your leg, and two, make sure it's appropriate.
Not obscene.
Yes.
Yeah.
No unsupervised scribbling on the cast.
Exactly. So
we have guests. Who are these people? I don't have my glasses on. They're a little blurry.
Yes. Good morning to the Bugs, Birds, and Berries Workshop folks. Norm Capra from the Bay County Audubon Society. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you also brought a friend with you?
Yes. Hi.
Jody from the Sweet Bay Chapter of the Bay County Native Plants
Society.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'll talk you into getting rid of your lawn.
Is that what
getting
that's all about?
Rid of the lawn?
Well, let's limit it and add native plants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Mine is very limited.
Well, a lot of folks buying plants this weekend and working on their gardens. It's the perfect weekend, and it looks like into the next week we're going to be planting more things. And your workshop tonight is going to help us know the best things to plant?
It's Thursday night.
So tell us a little bit about what that's going to cover.
Well, we have a very exciting program. We're going to have experts from several different areas. In fact, this whole program came out of a great idea. The native plant people have been pushing having native plants in the yard for a whole variety of wonderful reasons, which we hope to bring to people on Thursday night. But in the last few years, Audubon has been discovering, or at least becoming much more vocal about the reality that birds like certain plants, and they will come to your yard if you have those plants there. And most of those plants are native plants. And after a lot of study and collaboration with Native Plant Society and Bay County Master Gardeners with the IFAS Extension, we've gotten a collective knowledge about which plants are better to bring more birds in, which plants are better to bring more pollinators in, and to help keep a very healthy environmental landscape in the yard, in your yard, at one yard at a time.
And beautiful, too.
Yes, and beautiful, too.
And we need to, you mentioned pollinators, we need to be very careful with our pollinators because they're having a tough time, especially, bees, particularly honeybees are having a rough time. And there is a lot, I'm sure, you guys can do or tell us what to do to help support our pollinators, because without them, we're going to have trouble with our food supply, basically.
Absolutely.
And what about the birds? Why do I want birds in my yard?
Well,
I know they're pretty to look at.
Because you don't like bugs?
Oh, they'll eat bugs.
We'll do that.
That's a very good question. And birds are very important in your yard because, as he's already mentioned, they will eat bugs.
Mm-hmm.
The birds that are raising their young, they'll be building protein. They need the protein from the bugs. They will eat certain bugs. Other bugs will continue to develop. It's a chain of life that you develop in your yard, and it really helps to maintain a very healthy environment, and the habitat that's being continually fractured can be restored in each person's yard by a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of care, and that involves not only correct plants, but correct pollinators, correct bugs, and that will bring the birds in, and it's a chain of life.
Okay, so we'll have a little ecosystem in our backyard. Personal ecosystem.
Well, we are talking about birds, bugs, and bees. Not to be confused with just the birds and
berries.
The bees.
Berries.
And berries. And berries.
Okay. Don't go with the birds. Every time you go to the birds and the bees, and then Brandon gets careful. Redder, yeah, so don't do that to him, okay?
But the bees at the bugs.
Something like that. So it's 9:15. We'll take a quick break. We've got more music and more information about the bugs, birds, berries, bees, all of that, coming up here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. You know, it's a song about my trip to Home Depot, Office Depot,
and I
Lowe's,
still haven't found
Walmart. I still haven't found what I'm looking for, and I usually get in trouble because I'm looking for usually nothing, but I'm supposed to be at home doing the gardening. And I'm looking for tools. And,
eventually, you'll start going. That's what I do.
Like that,
I spend a lot of time in hardware stores just looking, just to see if there's something I can't live without.
I'm looking for something I can't.
And then, do you end
without.
Up buying things you don't need?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I got a garage full of that. Are you kidding?
Exactly. Absolutely. I was there looking yesterday, and I
Man, that is nice. I gotta have one of those.
Yeah. Is there a way I could justify buying that?
What kind of plants do you guys have in your yard that you need the tools for?
Well, we built a raised garden bed.
Oh, very nice.
Oh,
so we have some, and this is our first shot at it. So we went kind of small. It's about 8 foot long or so.
And
so,
did you build it?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Scott, you're handy.
If you build it, they will grow.
Okay.
There
something
you
like
go.
That.
And what is growing?
We have some green beans that are growing like
strawberries.
Crazy. We have some strawberries that are starting to.
I know you've got strawberries.
They're actually starting. We got itty bitty teeny tiny little berries on there now.
Great.
And some carrots. And what else do we have? We have some Brussels sprouts and some okra.
Ew. Yeah, why Brussels sprouts?
Oddly enough, my kids like them.
The only good sprout is a sprout on somebody else's plate.
Yeah. We have some cabbage and some cucumbers and squash and bell pepper, tomato.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, are these the right vegetables to grow? Can we get checked here from the Birds, Bugs, and Berries Workshop folks? Norm from the Audubon Society and Jody from the Native Plant Society. Did Scott do the right thing in his vegetable garden?
Doesn't matter.
He did a great
I grew them
job
anyway.
For vegetables. That sounds like an awesome bed for vegetables.
Yeah. Thank you.
And are all those things that will grow well in this climate?
Yes, they will.
Okay. I can just, yes, they would certainly are growing like crazy.
And did you get any advice on what to decide to grow from Tom? Okay.
Yeah, Tom.
I do grow a lot of vegetables.
What kind of vegetables are you growing?
Right now I have four different kinds of tomatoes. Tomatoes are not all tomatoes are created equal, including I'm trying a new one this year called Tropic, which was developed some years back at the University of Florida for this area, which is going to give me hopefully some... sometimes we get really wet weather and it's tough on the tomatoes, and the Tropic is supposed to be able to withstand that. So I'm growing some Tropic this year, and of course you've got to grow, you know, plum tomatoes because you have to make your tomato sauce, and then you need some for sandwiches and salads. So it takes a couple different kinds of tomatoes, a couple different kinds of bell peppers, two or three different squashes, eggplant, strawberries. Of course, everybody has to grow strawberries, pole beans, and peas.
Now, I didn't grow anything this year because the past years were really disappointing to me. I had bugs eat squash. I had last year just couldn't come up with anything. I had tomatoes that wouldn't grow. But in prior years, I did some great jalapeno peppers and other kind of peppers. But last year discouraged me because my squash, I had what would have been a bumper crop of squash, and it just got completely eaten by bugs.
You're supposed to get to them before the bugs do.
Well, they weren't big enough.
If you had the right birds, you wouldn't have the bugs on your squash. I'm looking at Norm going, Norm could help you on this when you need to cultivate the right birds.
Of course, you have to be careful.
Because the birds and the bees, the flowers and the trees. Sorry.
Because some of the birds will like some of the plants you put into the ground also.
Right.
Okay.
I'm also an amateur gardener, and I just put my tomatoes in yesterday.
The mockingbirds will get your tomatoes eventually, right. But you know, you don't even have to net them off very hard. If you just kind of get some net up in the vicinity, the birds go, "Woo, net! I don't want to go over there." So they're.
So I should have. Do you think I should have netted them, or is there some way to discourage the kind of bugs that like to eat vegetables?
A net could help, but basically, I try the strategy of growing enough to have some for me and some for the birds, mm-hmm. and that works
very nice.
That would be good if the mockingbirds would finish one tomato, but they seem to peck at one tomato like twice,
yeah,
and then move on to the next
one.
I have mine well trained.
Sort of like Scott. sort of like Scott around donuts. He just takes a bite out of each one.
Yeah, you got to test them all.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But is there a way to get rid of some of the bugs with certain birds, attracting certain birds?
There are, and there are...
Or will all birds help me?
Not all birds.
No. And what we're really promoting at our Bed Bugs and Berries event is to incorporate native plants in your yard, in addition to your vegetables.
Right.
So you don't have to get rid of your vegetables, and you don't have to get rid of your prize camellias or other things.
One of the things that we planted in our garden, because we read that would keep pests away, was marigolds.
That's great.
They seem to be growing...
Okay.
Really well, and we don't have a lot of pests.
Citronella and lemongrass and things like that will also deter some of the some of your little pests.
This is all companion planting, and you can use carefully selected plants to help fight the problem of the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the marigolds as well around my tomatoes. And
Well, the key is, you know, for pesticides, there are pesticides and things that you can use for the specific plants,
mm-hmm.
but the key is to limit it just to those plants and very specific to where your needs are.
Sure.
Yeah. I see.
Well, of course, there's some more natural pesticides as well, I think, that you can concoct to that are good for the environment and good for your plants and good for your health.
Right. Absolutely.
Instead of spraying it down with, whatever.
Yes.
Agent Orange or something to keep the bugs away.
Now, since your workshop is full, you have a full workshop on Thursday. Can I ask my question now, since I can't get a seat?
Sure.
Sure.
How do we get rid of the mole crickets? And we have, unfortunately, just doused these things with pesticides, and even that is not getting rid of them. Year after year, we just can't control the mole crickets.
There is actually...
And that is an ugly bug.
Yeah,
it is horrible.
That is an ugly bug.
What do we do?
Well, I would have to defer to one of our collaborators in this...
All right. You're going to bring in an expert?
I would go to the county extension office and pose that question to them, and I'm sure they'll have that information for you. There are some natural means of... combating those, though.
If you don't have the right lawn for them, they really don't like it either. There's probably some of the natural planting, instead of just trying to grow, you know, centipede or something. They love centipede. And if you just don't grow it and grow something else instead of a lawn, then the mole crickets are going to go see your neighbor.
So they only like the lawn, the grass. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, we're talking about bugs and birds and berries
and the workshop on Thursday night.
We can come back and talk about bees, too, because bees are a big deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got a weather forecast coming your way from News 13's Anthony Peoples. But first, it's Bachman Turner Overdrive. We're rolling down the highway on The Mix on your local public radio station, 90.7 WKGC. And that's Aerosmith on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. A little crazy. A song written just for you, Tori.
Thank you.
A little crazy.
Thank you very much.
Tom, we already knew.
No.
I've never
had anybody look at me and say a little crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
The adjective's always a little different.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a touch different. I was reading on your handout here that Audubon's Plants for Birds public online database, anyone nationwide can access a list of native plants that benefit their favorite local bird species just by typing in their zip code.
Absolutely.
There's a hyperlink on my page, so I don't know the web address of that. Could you?
I can certainly send that to you. And actually, my wife.
Do you know it?
It's just Plants for Birds. It's I think it's Audubon Plants for Birds, but I'll tell you what, my wife is the one who's actually giving a talk at the program on how to use online resources. So one of our programs will be using various online resources, including this database, and giving examples.
Now that just seemed like a neat thing to do. I'm going to have to run that down and
Yeah, I want to type my zip code in. Absolutely.
They're probably about the same plant story. You don't live
probably
that far.
The same.
I mean,
yeah.
I do know it's a different time zone or something.
Yeah,
out there
across
on the
bridge.
Mm-hmm. Are we all in the same time zone yet? Are they going to do that?
No, they're
no,
not
going to
do it.
That.
That's good.
No.
Yeah, we're going to stay on daylight savings times as long
all your
as
favorite
the house
TV proof. Shows would be on at like midnight.
That's way too late for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, way too
Tell
late.
Tell us what other experts are coming to your workshop on Thursday, Norm.
So, actually, we are going to kick off with a person who's going to talk about the state of the birds. I don't think I've mentioned it yet, but this year is the Year of the Bird. And the National Audubon Society and the National Geographic Group and other folks have gotten together, Cornell University, and are really making a big effort to tell people why birds matter in the Year of the Bird. There's a program or a research effort that looks at the state of the birds year to year, and a report is issued. And one of the things that we're learning is that there's as not surprising is that the number of songbirds are really diminishing pretty dramatically and alarmingly so. And Dr. Todd Engstrom, who's going to give the kickoff speech, as it were, will discuss the state of the birds. And Dr. Engstrom is on the faculty at Florida State University, and he actually worked for the Cornell Group, which is one of the premier ornithological institutes, if not the premier ornithological institutes in the country. And he'll get things started off, and we'll have speakers such as Jody, who will talk about landscaping. And
yes, I'll talk about just different techniques for incorporating native plants into your garden.
Mm-hmm. And Jody, you're a master gardener.
I am.
And you give folks tips all the time.
That's
right?
One of the things I love to do.
Free
yep.
tips.
Yep, I love sharing gardening, my passion for gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And so we teach all idea of presentations,
and we
have forums that we'll actually go to, stores and things like that, and have Ask a Master Garden tables.
And, oh, good. And so there are some things, not only native plants that are good to plant and will help attract birds, but are there some plants we should get rid of?
Yes,
like
most definitely.
What? Tell us one or two.
Popcorn tree.
What's that?
Oh, it's terrible. And when you talk about something that'll grow, wow. Kudzu's not really nice either.
I'm not a big fan of kudzu.
Kudzu's bad. No. Yeah. The air potato vine. Have you ever seen that? That's another very evil one.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Where did it come from? Do you know?
Most of these have come from Asia.
Right. I know kudzu did.
Kudzu actually was brought in for
cattle feed.
We brought it in for that, and then it was cows promoted like it. For erosion control, believe it or not.
Really?
So for like 20, 30 years, we promoted people to.
Yeah, it'll keep your telephone wires from eroding. I've noticed that when you drive through the right neighborhoods. It's just all over the electric wires, the native trees, everything.
And it's hard to kill that stuff.
It is. It takes over. And where it takes over, it kills the native plants that were growing there before, which is important to our birds and
I
such.
Have fought that battle before. Before and
you have.
Yeah.
I walked away victorious.
Do you know, though, that kudzu is edible?
Really? No.
Yeah.
Huh. Do you make salad? What do you do?
You can with the young leaves.
Really?
But you can actually fry it. That's
have you done
thing
this?
You can do. I've had it, yes.
Is it any good? Now, you've got a strange face going on over there.
You can eat it.
You can. Oh, you can eat
right.
it.
It's not one of those.
An idea for a new restaurant. Invasive species restaurant.
You know,
and we could have water hyacinth to go along with it and a few other things.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Now, what's a good resource if there's something growing in our yard that we don't know exactly what it is? So I moved into a new home and they planted a tree for us. But I have no idea what tree it is, and they never told us what tree it is.
Hmm.
How can I identify that?
You can either call or go to the county extension office. We're really fortunate. We have master gardeners that every week, usually 5 days a week, we'll have master gardeners sitting there waiting for phone calls and to help people.
Will they come out and take a look at my tree and say, that is a... whatever?
Not the Master Gardeners, but the County Extension Office.
You could take them a picture, Scott. Your phone will do that.
Yes, but that's the thing. Send them a picture, sure. Or you can bring in leaves and put it in a plastic bag or whatever, okay. And bring in.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And there's someone doing a presentation at your workshop from the IFAS Extension Office, too.
Yes.
What's her part in that?
Yes, that's Julie McConnell, and she's our Extension agent. And she's the one I've mentioned would come to your house if there was a need for that. And she's going to give us a talk about some of the great native plants that we have. I mean, we have some wonderful native plants, some native hollies and native azaleas and native blueberries and such. And so she's going to tell us about some of these great plants that you can plant here in your Florida Bay County yard.
Oh, that reminds me. I also killed 3 blueberry bushes last year. Yeah,
seriously?
I just had the worst year last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Another speaker that we'll have to mention is... Dara Dobson from the Native Plant Nursery, the Seven Pines
Seven
Native
Pines.
Plant Nursery.
Okay.
Because when it is time for you to actually replace those blueberries.
Yeah. it's a great native nursery.
It's
wonderful.
A great native nursery in Dufuniac Springs. It's a nice, comfortable drive, and you can. She gives you expert information on the best native plants to grow in which habitats, and she's really a very, very good person to talk with in general. She also knows about the birds, about... She has specialty plants for hummingbirds.
Oh, wow.
She has specialty plants for butterflies and long lists of them, and she sells most of these plants at her native plant nursery.
Well, we're talking about good planting for native Florida, Bay County, and how to best do that. We're going to switch gears, though, for a moment. We do have a vinyl play of the day, and I have it.
All right. It's been a week. Why do I do a vinyl play of the day, Scott?
Well, I do a vinyl play
of
the day.
Well, this is the first one you've done in like 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So.
Well, we had to get a reason to buy a turntable.
There you go.
Is that the reason why we pulled it
out of the museum is what we did. We're doing vinyl play of the day. One, as I mentioned before, that we are, I would assume, probably the only place doing it.
In town.
In
town.
Mm-hmm. And if not...
Probably.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
So we're going to make use of our turntable. But also... Next week, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Next week. Are you ready? Because I'm not.
I've been practicing.
Next week is our pledge drive, our membership drive, and one of the gifts, we have a handful of gifts to give away, but one of the gifts that we're giving away is access to our vinyl vault, which is extensive. We have a lot of blues, jazz, soul, funk, oddball stuff, and a lot of classical. So if you like your classical music. So we're just trying to emphasize vinyl, and you can pledge your support to WKGC by visiting our website, WKGC.org, and you can pledge there, and you can find out the different levels and how you can get invited to our vinyl vault giveaway, which is going to be next Saturday here at the Advanced Technology Center here on the beautiful campus of Gulf Coast State College. So this song comes from 1971.
Really? I remember 1971.
I don't.
Or parts of it.
I don't. This was written by a guy by the name of Bill Danoff and his wife Taffy Nevert.
Really?
With some help from a guy named...
H.J. Dusendorf Jr., I would imagine.
So here's how the story goes. John Denver had contacted these folks. They knew each other, and he had broken his thumb, and he's in the hospital getting it splinted up, and these two come in, and they play the song for him, and he just goes bonkers for it and says, I have to have it. I want it. And initially... they sat there and the three of them worked out some new lyrics and everything. So he does get a writing credit for it. And this is one of my favorites from 1971. It's John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads. This is the vinyl play of the day on The Mix on your local public radio station, 90.7 WKGC.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is older, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia. Roads. All my memories gather round her. Miner's lady, stranger to blue water. Dark and dusty, painted on the sky. Misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Plenty roll, take me home to the place.
John Denver on the mix on 90.7 WKGC and Take Me Home, Country Roads. I've never been to West Virginia.
I have.
Yeah.
I have gone camping in West Virginia.
Have you?
It's very nice.
Is
yes,
it beautiful?
Up in the mountains. It's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I'm not sure what you do when you live there other than look at it, but it is gorgeous. It really is. It's a great place to visit and go look at, because the East Coast has beautiful mountains, maybe not as majestic as the West Coast, but they're so nicely covered in trees and plants and good places mm-hmm. to hike and camp and stuff like that.
Well, that is our vinyl play of the day. And again, next week we kick off our pledge drive.
April 2nd.
That's right. And it's going to last all week long, and we're going to do some different things. Yes. We're going to start the mix an hour early on Monday morning.
Woohoo!
Oh, all right.
And we're still working on our cast of characters to kind of cycle some folks through mm-hmm. and
some alumni
and
successful media
any other people that I can
if they let me out with a remote, we might even do some remote work.
There you have
and,
it.
And I'll go visit people and make them talk about the radio station.
Well, and we'll mention to them that we are the only local public radio station. Mm-hmm.
That's right. There is another NPR station in this market, but they're not from here. They're from Tallahassee.
Right.
You can't say who they are.
I did not say who they were. This is not a simulcast.
This
is real.
Yeah. Who would simulcast us anyway?
Exactly. But we are your only local public radio station, the only one here in town.
And good thing to bring up, when a disaster strikes, we're the ones you're going to want to listen to, because we are the only public radio station that will move its entire operation to the Bay County Emergency Operations Center and keep you informed as to what's going on.
When you drive up 231, there's little blue signs that say, in the event of emergency,
mm-hmm.
what radio station does it say?
90.7.
Mm-hmm. All the way up and down 231.
And you can also, if you happen to go out of town, if you happen to be chased out of town, you can listen to us. You can listen to us online. I'm talking about in an emergency, not one of your emergencies,
right.
Scott. But
of course,
we're the ones that are going to be by your side the entire time.
That's right.
Visit us on our website, wkgc.org. And in our last couple of minutes, wrap up your events happening on Thursday
at 5:30 here in the Advanced Technology Center. Norm and Jody here from the Native Plant Society and the Audubon Society, getting together with a couple of different organizations, the IFAS folks. And but your workshop on Thursday night is full, but we're working on some way to maybe
We'll see.
We'll have an announcement.
We'll have an announcement. We can't make this decision ourselves. We'll have an announcement. Maybe there's another way you can
join in
with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be sure and mention that we're very, very grateful to Gulf Coast State College and to Dr. Linda Fitzhugh for arranging the room for us. Mm-hmm. And Gulf Coast is a real partner in this. And in fact, the citizen science program that she runs is mm-hmm. very important. There are programs studying birds. We do a great backyard bird count. We have the Great Birding Day on May 5th, and we also support other citizen mm-hmm. science projects like Journey North, which monitors the monarch butterfly migration into the
There are regular series of programs here at Gulf Coast State College in the evenings called Citizen Science Lectures, and keep an eye out for it, and we always announce them.
Yeah, that happens about every other month on Tuesday.
About every other month. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On a Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock, there'll be an hour-long program. You'll find stuff you're very interested in. Come by the very beautiful Advanced Technology Center on the third floor.
Absolutely.
How do we get a hold of you guys, maybe if someone wants to join the Audubon Society?
We can have you sign on in our webpage, baycountyaudubon.org.
And we have the Florida Native Plant Society, FNPS.
FNPS.org. Great.
Well, Norm and Judy, thank you for stopping by, and we'd love to have you back as a guest. And we'll round out this hour of music. We have music from the Gin Blossoms and Ray Charles and Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, the Dave Matthews Band, and more coming up in the next hour. We've got two more hours of the mix coming your way. Right now, it's Juice Newton, and this is the Queen of Hearts. You're listening to The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Don't forget to check out our website, WKGC.org.